Joanne Chanchuli is a pioneering producer who's behind some of the Food Network's most beloved shows, including Food 911 with Tyler Florence, Iron Chef, and our own Ingrid Hoffman's Simply Delicioso. But that's not the half of it. Joanne has co-authored cookbooks with Tyler, Aaron Sanchez, and Michael Mina. And she's working with our very own Michael Schwartz on his cookbook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now Joanne has her own book, L.A.'s original Farmer's Market cookbook, which she calls a love letter to a place that she just couldn't live without. Joanne, welcome to join us at the table.
Good morning, ladies. How are
you? Good morning. Joanne, what draws you to this particular farmer's market?
Well, it has a nostalgic charm. It's celebrating its 75th anniversary this year, and in Los Angeles, that's saying a lot in a city full of wannabes where if a restaurant lasts, you know, 5 years, it's a classic. So when I first moved to Los Angeles from New York, I don't know if you could tell, I'm from New York.
You're a homegirl like me.
It was a place where it felt genuine to me, and it was a little haven where I could just go and sit, and they didn't shoo you out of your seat, and I could kind of just people watch and dawdle, and I felt a real connection to it. And as I kept going for years, and I just thought, gosh, this would be a really great book to write an ode to the place and meeting all the characters along the way, because I'm calling this book actually a food lover's storybook because it's so much more than recipes. It's really about the people behind the counters who make the farmer's market the farmer's market.
Exactly. You know, I'm looking through your book right now. It's a beautiful book, great stories and photographs. And the one thing that strikes me about this farmer's market, unlike others that we might be used to, the stalls mostly sell prepared foods as opposed to fresh-grown, homegrown produce. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. It's a little of both. I mean, there are two of the best butchers in Los Angeles can be found there, and mm-hmm. I really support them because, you know, in these growing times, you know, where convenience is key for people who are busy, I just really am all about supporting somebody who has a craft. For sure. But the stalls, what's so great about it is it's really you can eat around the world. I mean, there's something for everyone. What's really great about it is one of the best things is you can assemble meals of your choice. So let's say, you know, you go there, the kids want Italian and you want Chinese and your husband wants Mexican. There really is a cross-section of cuisine. And with that brings visitors from so many different places, and I think that's why, just like myself, transplants all feel welcome, and these stalls are cooking dishes that their mothers or their grandmothers taught them. So it's multi-generational owners, some of which have been there since 1934, which is just astonishing to me.
Wow. You know, you feature, your book really just has a heart and soul because you really get into the people who are running these, and you know, you talked about some of these have been in the family since 1934. There is a man, that was his name, Clinton Thompson. He definitely plans, he's making gumbo.
Mm-hmm,
and he
correct.
Definitely plans to have his children take over the stall at the proper time. He wants to keep this in the family. And he has an interesting story. Was he a musician?
No, his actually,
the original owner.
Charles, yes. Came from New Orleans and
right.
loved the atmosphere of farmers market, almost the al fresco, you know, the very French Quarter kind of feel about it, because it is an open air market and it's there
right.
every day, as opposed to like a greengrocer that's there once a week or something like that. This is these stalls are there every day. So Charles came to L.A., tried to make it as a musician, didn't quite work out. Mm. And he worked in a few restaurants, Commander's Palace being probably the most famous in New Orleans, and opened up the gumbo pot at the farmer's market. And then Clinton was a delivery driver, is how he started, actually.
Right.
And it's amazing, again, you know, how people work their way up. It seems like all the places are either family-owned and operated where they pass down to their children, or somebody who's been working there from the ground up. I mean, Clinton then became the manager and now consequently the owner. And
right.
there's such a pride, I think, where you actually see the owners behind the counter serving you, as opposed to a hired hand of just somebody on, you know, just somebody. I mean, they really care about, they have your personal satisfaction at heart.
Yeah, you can tell. You can really tell. You know, your food groups go really deep. Talk about your father, Dominic, in Queens. Yay!
Are you a Queens girl?
Yeah.
Oh,
Corona.
Love it. I'm originally from Long Island.
Yeah.
Again, I'm sure you could tell by my regionalism.
I wouldn't have guessed.
It's been California-ized, so I don't hear it so well.
Well, you could take the girl out of New York, as they say, right?
Yeah,
I grew up in a restaurant family, and my father owned a restaurant in Queens called Bonavien, and it's Italian. I'm Italian. Mm-hmm. And it actually was Lydia Bastianich's first restaurant before she moved to upscale Manhattan. And this was in the 80s, and I was young, and via osmosis, I actually went to NYU Film School. So I had no idea I would end up doing what I'm doing now.
I'll say this is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah,
but it's still the same. You're filming of a different kind, though.
Yeah.
You're recording.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was, and I think that's how the food television thing kind of happened, where right place, right time, where I married my entertainment background and my love of food from my upbringing, and it became a career, really. I was able to kind of make a hybrid career out of food and entertainment, and it's worked out really well for me, so I'm very, very fortunate.
Talk about some of the flavors you remember from your childhood, not just from your father's restaurant, but maybe from home.
Yeah, my grandmother used to call me a good eater. we all know what that is. You know,
I qualify for that role now, not as a kid.
Right? But make a career out of being a good eater. What could be better?
No.
But it's true. I was the type of kid that tried everything. You know, things that, you know, kids don't necessarily like, you know, eggplant or anchovies or, you know, just different types of, and it was always like, you don't have to eat it, just try it. And consequently, my palate grew and grew and grew, and it really,
sure.
I just have so many memories of my grandmother, just with her little apron and cooking all day on Sunday. There was, of course, the Italian, you know, Sunday big afternoon meal, and it really brings back such fond memories for me. And you know, food is love. I know you guys were talking about that. And it's like music in a way. I find that it just brings back memories instantly. If I smell something, food-wise, immediately it will take me back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I relate to that. But now let me ask you this question. You are co-authoring Chef Michael Schwartz's new book.
I am. I'm lucky to say I am. He's incredible.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we know. I can walk. I can actually walk to Michael's from my house.
Oh, you're one lucky lady then. One lucky lady.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So now my big question to you, aside from I know he's got to be a great guy to work with, what are we going to get the pork belly recipe?
Okay, seriously.
Not that I'm going to go out and fix it. I just want to know.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Yes, you are. And I'm going to write it so it's not 4 pages long. So he definitely, and the hominy recipe, those are probably the two most requested.
You're absolutely right. I get both of those every time I go.
Yeah.
Why would you not? I mean, it's pretty incredible. And what's great is I've been going to Miami pretty much every month to work with him. And there are worse places to be.
Yes, this is true. Even though it was 90-somebody degrees yesterday, it was a beautiful day. It finally stopped raining after 26 days of straight rain.
Yes.
But, Joanne, you have to call us so Nancy and I can come and meet you when you're at the restaurant one day. We'd love to
I'll
bring
be there
bread with you.
I'll be there in July again, so working on recipes, testing with him and writing the book with him. And he's just a tremendous man, chef, mm-hmm. all around just a good guy. He just is, and he's so smart. And I feel very privileged. I almost feel like apprenticed in a way doing what I do, working with all these different chefs. You know, there are a million ways to cook, and mm-hmm. and I'm lucky enough to get inside these big name chefs' head and really
yeah.
take what's in their head and put it on
yeah.
a paper. And it's a very special relationship, you know. So.
Yeah, I went to a dinner Ingrid did the other night, and she was showcasing recipes from her cookbook. And I know you were involved in that book also.
No, I produced her Food Network.
Oh, it's her show.
So.
Oh, okay. See, I'm taking the book and thinking the book and the show as what you were doing, but that's even better. That's
yeah.
fabulous.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite people on the planet.
She's a pistol. That's the best word I have for her. She's a pistol.
She's great. She's really,
yes, she
really
is.
Great.
Yes, she
Joanne,
is.
What's your next project? What can we look
well,
for?
Well, I'm working on Michael's.
Down the pipe?
Yeah, well, I'm working on Michael's book right now, mm-hmm. and I have a few other things in the pipeline TV-wise, and obviously I'm kind of on a book tour for my book right now, which is very exciting because the farmers market's turning 75 this summer. So there's a lot of fanfare going on, and
right.
I'm doing a lot of cooking demos and appearances, and I'll be on the Today Show in July 27th, mm-hmm. and I'm very, very excited about doing that. And so getting the word out on my book, and we'll see what's next. We'll see which hits first, but yeah, it's all good.
Well,
very
we are
good.
Just absolutely delighted you came to break bread and coffee with us this morning. We have to find a way to do that virtual breaking bread and coffee, Nancy.
Thank you so
well, let's
much.
Let's do it for real in July.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'm definitely looking forward to meeting you. Nancy and I both are, because we are in plans for our own cookbook. So what better than to talk to a cookbook guru?
I'd be happy to, for sure. And
thank you.
And the book you can get, it's since it's a regional book, obviously it's about the L.A. farmers market, you can get it mm-hmm. on Amazon for sure if it's not in your local bookstore there in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's available on Amazon. And I really just encourage people to get it because it really is about the food culture here in Los Angeles and a very, very special place here. So.
And one more thing, the fifth person who has contacted us in our chat room or at foodies@joinusatthetable.com can easily get the copy that I'm holding here in my hand.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Very, very, very good. And it's very true. And, of course, we do have a winner, too.
Oh, perfect.
Very good. Very good.
Great.
All right.
Well,
Joanne, thank you.
Thank you
so much for joining us at the table. Please give us a ring before you come to Miami, and we'll meet you at Michael's.
Will do.
Looking all right. Take care.
Thanks, ladies.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you have been listening to Join Us at the Table, and next week, you can tune in for another fabulous show with Nancy and I. And
we'll have three great guests.
Yeah, we will definitely do this. And this one, our quote for today is for Paula Barth. Nobody knows the truffles I've seen. Nancy, did you make that up?
Girl, Google is a wonderful thing.
I tell you. Very good. See you soon, and we do have a winner in our chat room. So
great.
If they will contact me, I think they shut out of the chat room before we got a chance to get their information. Nettie or Net, I'm not sure which one that is. Please send us back your info. All right, talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, it would be wonderful if I could click on the little button, but I'm stuck wherever I am.
Oh.
You know, absolutely frozen, can't do a thing. I was going to play our exit music. Since I'm not going to play the exit music, I won't dare sing. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Ms. Bell. Bye-bye.